2. Let's stand together. I don't know if it was mentioned or not about the mixed ensemble for tonight. Was that mentioned? Pardon me? Okay, that is the plan, right? Okay, we'd like to do a mixed ensemble tonight. You can go ahead and stand. So at 5:30, we'll practice and we'll sing in the evening service. And we'd love to have you join us in that impromptu mixed ensemble. That would be great. 4:22, thou didst leave thy throne. Aren't you glad Jesus willingly left his throne in heaven to come in human form to be our Savior? Amen? Let's sing about that. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming the royal degree. But of lowly birth did thou come to earth in great humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. The foxes from rest and the birds their nest in the shade of the forest tree. But thy couch was the sod and the crown was the thorn in Galilee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Thou camest, O Lord, with the living word that should set thy people free. But with mocking scorn, with the crown of thorns, they bore thee to Calvary. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. When the heavens shall ring and the angels sing at thy coming to victory, let thy voice call me home, saying that there is room at my side for thee. My heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, when thou comest and callest for me. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, this song, along with Joy to the World, it talks about not only the first coming of the Lord, but the second coming of the Lord. And I'm looking forward to that. I hope you are as well. Yeah. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 3, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 3. Actually, Luke chapter 2. Ephesians 3 is where we're going to preach from, but Luke 2 is where I want to read for our context. We started this last week looking at Luke 2. And last week we focused our thoughts on the glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, which is the message that the angels came to speak. And today we're going to look at a different aspect of this Christmas narrative today, and we'll be looking in Ephesians 3 for that. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor in Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, watching over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them,
And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Amen.
And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Amen.
Last week we focused on the idea of joy, the glad tidings of great joy. The word glad tidings means good news. Good news is only good if it comes in time. The good news that we need to be declaring is the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost and dying world. And we need to make sure we get that good news to them before it's eternally too late for them to respond to it. They can experience great joy if they'll trust in Jesus as their Savior.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but I'm really glad it's to all people, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't you glad the Bible says, whosoever can be saved?
Yeah.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you thankful for that? It's available to whosoever. It's available to all people. This week, I want us to take our attention to verse 14, if you would, please. The first thing we looked at was the message a angel gave. Today, I want to look at a message that a host of angels gave as they were praising God. And this is what they said in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. You know, much of our worship today is so focused on us when it ought to be focused on Him.
Amen.
But notice it says, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You know, I want to submit to you today, and the pastor's paragraph talks about this, but I'm kind of thinking, just logically, okay? Just think logically, all right? If we had more glory to God in the highest in our lives, don't you think that that would show up in more goodwill toward men from our lives?
Amen.
And if we're giving glory to God in the highest through our lives and we're showing goodwill toward men in our lives, don't you think the outcome of that's going to be peace on earth?
Yeah.
Yeah. It all starts with us glorifying God in our lives. And the first step of glorifying God in our lives is having peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, in our sin, we are at enmity with God. We are separated from God. In our natural sinful condition, we are enemies of God. We are ungodly. We are sinners. And we can't change that ourselves. We can't be good enough. We can't have enough New Year's resolutions and keep them. Good luck on that. We can never make ourselves right with God on our own, no matter how hard we try. The only way we can be right with God and have peace with our Maker is through our sins cleansed and His righteousness applied to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and our faith in Him. That's the only way. So today I want to talk to you about glory to God in the highest. If we do that, there'll be goodwill toward men. And when there is, there'll be peace on earth. Now, we can't change the whole world. But we sure can influence our little part of it, can't we?
Yeah.
One day, Jesus is going to come back and rule and reign on the earth. There will be peace on earth. But until then, we can have some peace in our part of the earth because of having Jesus as our Savior and ruling and reigning in our lives. I want to talk about that today. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for this text of Your Word. I thank You for these dear people that are here today to worship You. I pray these songs and these things that we've looked at already have been a blessing to them, and I pray that Your Word would bless them and Your Spirit would speak to their hearts. Lord, I personally thank You for the things You've spoken to my heart about. Lord, help me to be a tool in Your hands to communicate that message that You've burdened my heart with to these dear people. Help me to do it with Your power and Your Spirit leading, that Your will would be accomplished in every life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender.
To take a little survey of some scriptures before we get to Ephesians chapter chapter 3, and I want us to look at some things that the Bible says about giving glory to God. And first place I want you to go is 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31. The Bible has much to say about this, and I want to encourage you to look at these references as you go through your week and let the Lord speak to your heart more in the days to come than just here in this service. And that's part of why we do the handout and have different verses and things in it that you can dig in and study some more and get a little bit more out of God's Word than in our time here together. But the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense neither to the Jew nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Amen. See, here in this passage it says that whatever we do, we need to do it to the glory of God. Now that's a high goal to shoot for, and in our own selves it's totally impossible. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can bring glory to God in our lives. And not just on Sunday morning here, not just on Sunday night or Wednesday night, or not just in the Bible study during the week, but at work. We ought to be bringing glory to God. And if we let the Spirit of God fill us and use us as a tool in His hands, we can bring glory to God in every facet of our lives. Now, none of us are going to be perfect, right? But the bottom line is, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to hit it a whole lot more than we would if we don't even try. Amen?
Yeah.
And that's what God wants for us. And He says, give none offense. That's a lofty goal, isn't it?
Yeah.
To give none offense to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. That's a lot of people. Saved, lost, and everybody in your church family. That's really a tall task, isn't it?
Yeah.
To not offend somebody? Now, I realize there's some people, it doesn't matter what you try to do, they just wear their feelings on their shoulder, they're going to get upset, they're going to get offended about whatever. You can try as hard as you want not to, but some people, it's just going to happen. That's just the way it works. But by and large, you remember going back to what the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." The idea of that offense, give none offense, that's peace. If you don't have an offense, you've got peace, right? Amen?
Yeah.
So how am I going to have no offenses with other people, have peace with other people? Well, the step before that is goodwill toward men. Showing good word toward men will help us to have peace with one another and have no offense. Well, how are we going to do that? By glorifying God in all things. If I'm glorifying God in whatever I do and whatever I say, I'm seeking to glorify God. Don't you think it's just logical that I'm going to offend people less often? If I'm really trying to bring glory to God, it is even possible to go through a whole day without being offensive. And even if accidentally something happens, or maybe there's misunderstandings, right? It's not just on Hallmark movies, it's in real life, right? Hallmark movies, they're all the same. There's a misunderstanding or miscommunication, and there's a problem, and by the end, everybody's happy. And in real life, there's miscommunications, there are misunderstandings, right? But even if you're seeking to glorify God and there is a misunderstanding or a miscommunication, because you're trying to glorify God and because you're filled with His Spirit, then you're going to be sensitive to that. And His Spirit is going to say, you know what? That didn't come out quite like you wanted it to. That happened to me this week. I said something that didn't come out quite right. At the senior luncheon, we had lunch and it was great and we had a good time and it was a blessing. And then afterwards, Sabina over here and back there. There you are. And Sabina and Debbie, they played a flute duet. It was beautiful.
What child is this? I love that song. And they did a beautiful job. But I assumed in my mind they were doing a medley of songs because they've done that before. And I think I've even heard them practicing a medley of songs, Christmas songs, even this year. And so I was expecting more songs. And I said, is that all? I said, are you done? And they said, yes. And I said, good. It didn't quite come out right. And everybody laughed just like you are. So the bottom line is, no matter how hard you try, sometimes things don't come out right, right? And things happen. But the point is, if I'm seeking to bring glory to God, I'm going to be far less offensive. I'm going to have far less potential to be offensive. And if I'm bringing glory to God and I'm seeking to honor God and I'm seeking to show that in goodwill toward men, I'm going to not just on purpose try to ruffle people's feathers. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Even as I please all men. Paul was anything but a people pleaser. Right? So what does he mean by this? Please all men. The point he's trying to make is, I'm not going out to pick a fight. I'm not wearing my feelings on my shoulder just asking. I don't have a chip on my shoulder asking somebody to knock it off so we can go at it. I'm trying to live peaceably with all men. I'm trying to show goodwill toward men. I'm trying to not offend them so they'll listen to the gospel and maybe even get saved. I'm not on purpose trying to irritate people. Because look what he says. Not seeking mine own profit. It's not about me. You know, a lot of our conflicts and relationships are about me-ism instead of we-ism. We as humans are very self-focused if we don't work against it. And we have to work against it. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit to help us work against it. We are so prone to pride. I want my way, I want it now. Me-ism. Paul says, it's not about me, it's about the Lord, and it's about the Lord's work in people's lives that the lost will get saved and the saved will get growing. So, with that thought in mind, go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 14. It says, above all these things, put on charity. Doesn't the Bible say love one another? Which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. There's that indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit guiding us. And when that peace is absent, there's a problem. It needs to get fixed. And we need to let that rule in our lives. It says, to which ye are called in one body and be thankful. There's that we-ism. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, letting God's word work in our hearts so we can bring more glory to God and we can show more goodwill toward men so we can experience more peace in our lives. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. There's the we-ism again, one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, there's that term again. 1 Corinthians says, whatsoever you do, do all. Here it says, whatsoever you do in word or deed. That includes a lot of stuff, right? Yeah. Whatever you do in word and in deed. Whatever you say, whatever you do. Isn't that a lot like 1 Corinthians 10:31? It says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all. There it is, do all. Now, in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, do all to the glory of God. Here it says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God and the Father by Him. Now, let me ask you a question, just logically here, okay? If I do or say something, and I do it as unto the Lord, and I do it in Jesus' name, expecting Him to bless it, don't you think that's going to bring glory to God, whatever I'm doing?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't call somebody a curse word or call somebody a name or be critical to somebody and say, Lord, bless that. That doesn't make any sense, does it? I can't be selfish with somebody and offensive to somebody and say, Lord, bless that. That makes no sense, does it? So obviously, if I'm being rude or unkind or ungracious, I can't expect the Lord to bless it. I can't thank God for it. And bottom line, it doesn't bring glory to God. Correct? And since it doesn't bring glory to God, and God's not going to bless it, and I can't give thanks to God for it, it kind of leads me to believe that it's not going to be very much goodwill and peace between us either, is it? He says, notice the application. I thought I was a patient person, and then I got married. And I found out I wasn't so patient. And I was getting better, and then I had children. And I realized I wasn't so patient. And I thought I was getting better, and then we started foster care. And I realized I wasn't quite as patient as I thought I was. God applies this to the biggest sources of conflict in our lives. He applies it to the husband-wife relationship. He applies it to the parent-child relationship. And He applies it to work. If we did a poll here today, I'm pretty sure, I'm not a betting man, but I'm pretty sure if we took a poll here today and we asked you about your greatest frustrations and your greatest stresses and your greatest sources of conflict, I would imagine the vast majority of people in this room will name one of those three areas. Husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, work relationships. See, God takes this very theological, ethereal truth. Whatsoever you do, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And He applies it to very literal, very practical, very real, problematic situations. You know the thing about God and His Word? He really cuts down on the wiggle room, doesn't He? You know, people say, well, that doesn't work for me. That doesn't apply to me. You know, I've got this special situation. It's the same for us all. We're all sinners. We're all in need of His grace. We all struggle with self. We all struggle with others. We all have a hard time having peace with each other and bringing glory to God. He says, He calls us to it. Do you believe that what God calls us to do, He will enable us to do? I believe that. Then He says this in verse 23 and says, whatsoever you do, there it is again, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of persons. You know, one thing about God, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your skin color is, doesn't matter what your background is, doesn't matter where you came from, doesn't matter what skeletons you have in your closet, doesn't matter what your socioeconomic status is, doesn't matter what your position in the community is. He's the same with everybody.
Amen.
We struggle with that, being the same with everybody. God says in His Word, there's no respect of persons. None, zero. That's it. Nothing. No difference for anybody. Zero. You know, here in this passage, I want you to go to Ephesians now. We kind of gone around the block a little bit. Let's come on in here for some landing.
Amen.
Ephesians 3. Look at verse 14, if you would, please. The Apostle Paul reading, and he says, "For this cause I bow my knee." The cause that he just got through talking about is God's plan. The revealing of God's plan. God's plan, which is a mystery to those in the Old Testament, but a reality to those in the New Testament because of the coming of Jesus Christ and His death on the cross and His resurrection. And the fact that His plan is put into His Word, and at that time it was still being revealed, but aren't you glad that we have the entire Word of God today? Aren't you thankful for that? And so he says, "For this cause," and he kind of culminates that in the last paragraph. He says, "According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in Him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory." So he's talking about the believers in Ephesus and their faith in the Lord and their experience of God's plan working in their life because of their faith in the Lord, their access before the throne of God through Jesus Christ, and their relationship with the Father in Jesus Christ. And he says, "For this cause, for the cause of God's plan, for the cause of God's Word, for the cause of God's work in our lives, I bow my knee to the Father." He says, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." You know, the family of God is a big family. "That He would grant you," this is what Paul is praying for these believers in Ephesus, "that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love." See, it's not just being saved by faith. He says that you would be rooted and grounded in love, that you would grow in love, you would grow in truth, you would grow in the Spirit's filling, you would grow in bringing glory to God in all things. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He's not just talking about salvation. He's talking about Christian growth and Christian living in the real world. As husbands and wives, as parents and children, as co-workers. That you would bring glory to God as you learn about Him and as you learn about His love. And you seek to show that love and you're bringing glory to God because you're living in the reality of that love. And you're sharing that love with others and you're showing goodwill toward men. And you're experiencing greater peace in your relationships. He says, "I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto Him," not unto me, not unto you, unto Him. Unto Him who? Who are we talking about here? He started off with, he said, "I bow my knee to the Father." Glory to God in the highest. Hello. Starting to make a connection here. Unto Him. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Do you think God can help you to show goodwill toward the people around you? Or do you think He's just not up to that task? Do you think that the God... Let me ask you this way. Does the God you believe in have the power to exceed your expectations in your life?
Amen.
If not, you need to get a new God and you need to get the God of the Bible. Because that God, the God of the Bible, He's able. More than able. We sing the chorus. We sing two of them. He's able, He's able, I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. And another one we sing. He's able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He's able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He's able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
If you believe that, then my... Well, it's not my equation, it's God's equation. I'm just trying to put on a chalkboard for you. This equation of me and my life bringing glory to God will help me to show goodwill toward men, which will cause me to experience more peace on earth. If you believe what I just sang to be true about your God, then your God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. In your life and in your relationships. And in my life and in my relationships. But it's not by my power. Look at the verse 20 at the end. According to the power that worketh in us. It's His power at work in me. That's the only way it's possible. His power at work in me. And then He closes it with this. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know, He mentioned marriage and parenting and work as a source of the places where whatever you do in word or deed or do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and He applies it there. You know, church is one of those places where there's friction too. You know why there's friction in churches? Shh, don't tell anybody. Shh, this is a secret. There's people in churches. That's why there's conflict in churches. Just like there are conflicts in marriages and conflicts in families and conflicts in work. What is the common denominator in all those places? People. He says, "Glory unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." You say, "Pastor, you haven't even gotten to the outline yet." I know. Here's the first point. We need to bring glory to God by humbling ourselves, or submitting ourselves to Him. That's where it all starts. That me-ism thing does not allow me to bring glory to God. Pride is the destroyer of relationships. Not only with us and one another, but with us and God. I'm not saying you can lose your salvation. If you've heard me preach very long, you know I believe that if you're truly born again, you're saved forever. Salvation is eternal life.
Right.
Everlasting life. But Satan, if he can't get your soul because you're saved, he definitely wants to destroy your life.
Oh, yeah.
And your fellowship with the Lord. And pride is one of his tools.
Yeah.
See, we bring glory to God in the highest by submitting ourselves to Him. And as we submit ourselves to Him, He helps us. He works through us. It's His power working in us to help us to show goodwill toward men, to help us to experience greater peace in our relationships. It's not our power. It's His power available to us through His Spirit working in us because of His Son being our Savior. That's the only way it's possible. See, we've got to submit ourselves by humbling ourselves to Him. Paul says, I bow my knee. Let me ask you the question. When was the last time you bowed your knee in prayer? I didn't say bowed your head. I said bowed your knee. When was the last time you got on your hands and knees before God and really poured your heart out to Him? If it's been a long time, I think you need to reevaluate that. Because the more we humble ourselves before the Lord, the better chance we have of avoiding pride before the Lord. And I realize there's no magic in bending my knee. But you know what? It helps me a lot to bend my heart when I bend my knee. There's something about my feeling my knee on the ground reminds me of how my heart needs to be before Him. Amen. Humble before Him. See, bowing my heart to Him and honoring Him for who He is, worshiping Him for who He is, glorifying Him for who He is, bowing my heart to Him, bowing my knee to Him, bowing my will to Him. See, it's not just the physical posture. It's the spiritual reality that should be part of the physical posture. As I bow my knee to Him, I need to be humbling myself and bowing my heart and bowing my will and bowing my body. See, when I bow my body, it's easy for me to bow my heart. We're not talking about religious ritual here. We're not talking about some form of religion here. We're talking about getting serious about who God is and about how I need Him in my life and humbling myself and saying, I cannot do this without You. See, we need to bow our will to Him, submitting my will to His will, submitting my desire to His glory. You know what hinders our lives bringing glory to God? We want what we want really bad. See, we need to bow our desires to Him so His desires are more important than our desires. We need to submit not only our desires to Him, we need to submit our expectations to Him. Remember that scenario I gave you? When I thought I was patient, and then I got married. You know what causes conflict in marriage? You got two individuals who think differently.
Oh boy.
And they, because they think differently, they see things differently.
Yeah.
And because they see things differently, they draw different conclusions.
Right.
And they have different expectations. That doesn't mean one is better than the other. It just means they're different.
Right.
Yeah, man, I said that. Just because you're the guy doesn't mean your ideas are better than hers. Hello.
Yeah. Very good.
That's pride. And that's why we have problems. Bow the knee. If you humble yourself to God, it helps you to humble yourself to others. See, we need to submit our expectations to Him because His purposes are more important than our ideas and our agendas. See, we need to bow our body to Him, yielding ourselves as a tool in His hands. And when we yield ourselves as a tool in His hand, He will help us to bring Him the glory in our lives that He deserves. But we start by submitting ourselves to Him, humbling ourselves to Him, yielding ourselves to Him as a tool in His hand. Letting Him use my life the way He wants to instead of only if it matches up with what I want. That's where so many Christians are. God, I'll do what You want to do as long as it's what I want to do. Come on! Let's get over that! That is not what Jesus died on the cross for. I'll do what You want me to do as long as it fits conveniently into what I want for me. How selfish can we be?
Yeah. Oh boy.
See, we need to glorify God with our bodies as well as our spirits. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Guess what? You don't belong to you. You don't belong to you. If you're married, you don't belong to you. If you're a parent, you don't belong to you. If you're a grandparent, you don't belong to you. If you're a worker, you don't belong to you. If you're saved, you don't belong to you. If you're created in the image of God, you don't belong to you. Need I go on any further? You don't belong to you. See, physically, materially, literally, in our senses, we've got to understand we don't belong to us. We belong to Him.
Right.
We need to dedicate ourselves to Him. We need to commit ourselves to His glory being done in us and through us. We need to commit ourselves to His glory being displayed in our lives to others. Those on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. See, that's God's glory being displayed in our lives to others. Other parts of His family. He says the family of God in heaven and earth. And God's family is a great big family. And this church family is a small microcosm of that family of God. But the bottom line is, well, God can help us to bring glory to Him in our relationships if we'll just dedicate ourselves to His will in our lives and His glory from our lives, because He's in charge of our lives. And then not even those people who are not even part of His family yet, but could be reached if we just show a little goodwill to them and bring glory to God in us, around them. See, we need to be committed to His glory through my life all the way to the end. Till I'm with those in the family of God in heaven, I need to be bringing glory to God down here. Because when I get to heaven, it's a slam dunk. I'm going to be bring glory to God in heaven. Yeah. Right? Didn't Jesus pray something about thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven?
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
That kind of ties into this. Because in heaven we will bring glory to God. Amen? But He wants us to do it while we're down here on earth. And we need to dedicate ourselves to Him. We need to submit ourselves to Him. We need to humble ourselves to Him. And we need to sacrifice ourselves for Him. Doesn't Romans 12, 1 and 2 start off with something about being a living sacrifice? We need to sacrifice ourselves to Him. Sacrificing our glory for His glory. Sacrificing our riches for His riches. Sacrificing our strength for His strength. You know, when you've expended all of your resources, you're in a perfect spot to experience His resources beyond you. But too many Christians never get that spent. Too many Christians never get that spent physically or even financially. We don't really sacrifice much too often. So we can experience His feeling, His filling us with His resources beyond our ability. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice, to lay it all out there. You know, if you watch kids play basketball in a game, and they, you know, they're really not passionate about it, they're really not giving it all, and it's frustrating. How many people get frustrated with that? Maybe it's just me, I don't know. And you ask them, did you do your best? Did you give it your hardest? Yeah. And what do they want to do as soon as the game over? Go play. Right? Oh, I'm kind of thinking if they got energy to do that, they didn't really spend it all out there. Right? My coach was always preaching, give it all, give it all. Leave it all on the court. How many of you have ever heard that from a coach? Yeah. See, until we give our all to the Lord, we're not going to experience Him replenishing our emptiness with Him and His resources. See, we need to sacrifice ourselves to Him. We need to bring glory to God in us through growing ourselves in Him. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love, comprehending with all saints the greatness of His love. Growing in Him by being firmly fixed in Christ by faith. Fixed on Him in the focus of our life, our hearts and our minds, and strengthened in Him in our hearts and minds. Just firmly fixed on Him. Not focused on us so much, but focused on Him more. Not focused on others so much, but focused on Him more. We need to be faithfully progressing in our Christian and in Christ by faith. Let me ask you a question. You have to answer this in your heart, because God knows the answer. I don't need to know the answer. It's really not about me and how you look with me. It's really about how you are with God, right? That's really what matters, right? It really bothers me when people are concerned with what the pastor thinks. You really need to be concerned with what God thinks, okay? Sort of like when you're driving the speed limit and you see an officer and you take your foot off the gas and put it on the brakes. You weren't doing anything wrong. Why'd you do that? Just do right. Don't try to please the pastor. Try to please God.
Amen.
I guarantee you, if you please God, truly please God, I'll be as happy as can be. I'll be as happy as a kid on Christmas morning. I promise you that. If you truly please God.
Amen.
Not the way you want to, but the way God wants you to. There is a difference.
Yeah.
See, we need to be progressing in our faith. Comprehending more and more who He is and what He wants for us. Developing as a saint in faith more and more. And that's what he talks about here, to know to comprehend with all saints the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. Knowing His love. Here's something here you need to understand. You cannot show God's love until you know God's love. You can't show God's love to a challenging coworker until you know God's love.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about me and God when I got married that I would have never learned single, probably. Because it's relational. It forces you to face you. That's what marriage is difficult. It forces you to face you. And if you don't face you, guess where you're headed? Trouble for a long time. And the same thing with kids. You know what kids do to you? They make you look at you because you're a child of God. And every time you say, "Haven't I told you that 1,000 times? You better be thinking, God's probably thinking the same thing. "Haven't I told you that 1,000 times? But you know what? I've learned things about God and His love for me that those two things never taught me, because it took having kids in my life that weren't biologically mine. Because I'm adopted into the family of God too, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And I promise you, my adopted children have taught me things about God and His love for me and about His struggles with me and my struggles with Him that I didn't know before.
Yeah.
See, we need to be growing and progressing in our faith, learning more and more about His love for us, so we can show more and more His love to others. And being filled with His fullness, the fullness of God. Filled up with the fullness of God. You know, in the Greek, you know what this term means? Have you ever filled something up and not stopped? It just kind of goes everywhere, doesn't it? It's kind of messy. But that's what this term means in the Greek. Just keep on filling. Whatever comes out is just replaced with more. Just keep on filling. Filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of His grace, so I can show grace to others. The fullness of His will being accomplished in my life, so I can bring glory to God in the highest. And I can show goodwill toward men. And I can have more peace in my part of the earth. The fullness of His Word working in me to help me learn and help me grow through the challenges of life. And not seeing the challenge as a challenge of its own, but what God wants me to learn through the challenge. See, that's the fullness of God. Being filled with the fullness of God. As I'm faithful to Him and His Word and faithfulness to hearing His Word preached and taught and faithful to studying His Word personally and faithful to taking the advantage of learning more about Him, He's going to help me learn and grow to help me handle what comes my way. The fullness of His Spirit producing His fruit in our lives. You know, every home here, every Christian here, every relationship here, I can promise you some things each and every one of them need. Now, I realize some people think they've got it all figured out. But I'm telling you, you need this, all right? Will you just listen, please? Set the side of pride and just listen. Or set the pride aside and listen, all right? Listen. I'm telling you something right now. If you'll just listen, it'll help you. Everyone here needs more of the fruit of the Spirit in their life. Every relationship here could be better with more of the fruit of the Spirit in that relationship.
Amen.
Read Galatians 5 again. See, God wants you to experience the fullness of His Spirit in you so more of the fruit of the Spirit can be shown in your relationships with other people. So you can bring glory to God in the highest more in your relationships. You can have more goodwill toward one another in your relationships. And you can have more peace on earth in your relationships if you'll let His Spirit produce His fruit in your life.
Amen.
You know what His fruit looks like according to Ephesians 5? Righteousness. God's Spirit works in our lives. We grow in righteousness, holiness. That means we stop doing some of the things that we knew we shouldn't have been doing, but we were doing them anyway. If we're really filled with the fullness of God and filled with His Spirit and His Spirit working in us, it's going to produce more righteousness in us.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. In the last... Let me just extend this really... Let's go out. 3 years. Last 3 years. What challenge, habit, bad habit, whatever, something you knew God did not want in your life, or something you knew God did want in your life and you just weren't doing it, in the past 3 years, how many changes have you seen in those areas? 3 years. 3 years, that's a long time, all right? Now, nobody's perfect here. So I promise you, in all of our lives, there's something in our lives that God doesn't want, or and we are doing, or something we're not doing He does want us to do. 3 years. What changes have you seen? How's that change going to happen? What I'm telling you right now is the only way it's going to happen. Being filled with the fullness of God. His Spirit working beyond your ability. His power at work in you. It's the only way it's going to be possible. And the only way you're going to experience that is getting serious about the problem. And humbling yourself before the one and only one who can make it happen. See, we need to bring glory to God through growing ourselves in Him. His will being done in us. His ability experienced in our inability. His exceeding greatness beyond what we can imagine. Jeremiah 33:3 still says, "Call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You want God to do something supernatural in your life? Why don't you start asking Him for it? Get serious about it. Ask Him to fill you with Him and less of you.
Very good.
Ask His Spirit to work you over with His power at work in you. See what He can do with you. D.L. Moody once said, as a young man, "It is yet to be seen what God can do with one man wholly devoted to Him." D.L. Moody was one of the greatest evangelists this world has ever known. Preached revivals on two continents. Saw thousands, probably millions of people saved. When D.L. Moody died, he said, "It is still yet to be seen what God can do with one man wholly devoted to Him." Would you be that person? That serious about your faith? That serious about God's glory in your life here on earth? Doesn't mean you have to be an evangelist. Doesn't mean you have to be a preacher. Doesn't mean you have to be whatever you think you need. Just be you. But be the greatest Spirit-filled you can be.
Amen.
And just see what God can do that exceeds your expectations and is far beyond what you can do on your own by His power at work in you. Not your power, His power. His power can do far more than you can ever accomplish on your own. His power can accomplish far greater things than you can ever achieve on your own. His power is far mightier than you can imagine you can do. There's been times where I said, "Lord, if you don't do it, it won't get done." And lo and behold, it happens.
Very good.
See, we need to let His power be at work in our lives and grow ourselves in Him by His people bringing Him glory in His churches and in this church through His Son more and more. Glory to Him more and more in our worship. Glory to Him more and more in our service. Glory to Him more and more in our giving. Glory to Him more and more in our impact in our community and in our relationships. You say, "Pastor, that sounds nice. Don't think it'll work." How small is your God? That really is the issue. Is your God the God of the Bible? Because if your God is the God of the Bible, He can do exceeding abundantly above whatever you ask or think.
Right.
We limit our experience of God in our lives by our lack of faith and our lack of obedience. It's that simple. And it's the same for everybody in this room. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter your ethnicity. Doesn't matter anything. It's the same for everybody. God wants my life, your life, to bring Him glory in our relationships, in everything we do and say. Period. Is it possible? According to God and His Word, it is. But it's only possible His way. It is not possible your way. It's only possible His way.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that the world is tired of powerless Christianity and conflict-ridden churches. And relationships that look just like everybody else's relationships. The world needs to see Christians being Christians. Filled with the fullness of God, filled with the Spirit of God, producing the fruit of God in their lives. And it'll look different. If we'll just let it happen. By getting on board with what God says instead of trying to figure out another way. There is no other way. It's only God's way. Let's pray. The heads bowed and your eyes closed as